Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the BFC, also known as the Brit Film Club. I'm your host, Ali.
Why did you say that like that? Like, you sounded like one of those... On the BBC, they have, like, weird reader people that have no emotion when they read, and you had no emotion when you said those words.
Because you criticise me if I'm too loud.
Thank you, that's true.
See, well, I'm glad you listened.
Okay.
Yeah.
And James!
Yay! So, James, how you doing?
I'm alright, thank you. It's very hot today, isn't it?
It is very hot.
Hot. And it's October.
Is it? Oh, it's October today. Yeah.
So. Pinch punch first and I'm off.
Oh!
Our returns!
You done. Okay. Oh, that hurt. It's alright. I'll get you back.
In November, maybe.
Yeah. Just wait. But yeah, so yes, yeah, so we skipped a week because I had the man flu.
Yeah.
So you know I'm okay now.
Mm-hmm.
All ready to kick ass and whatnot. But yeah. Besides hating me, James, what else have you been up to?
Oh, I've been working hard.
I'm bored now. Okay, I'm bored. So let's just quickly jump to news. All right.
Films.
That's our new theme for news. So the first part of news I want to bring up is Kurt Russell is in talks to replace Kevin Costner for Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained because Kevin Costner dropped out because of scheduling conflicts.
Oh, no.
And he was meant to be the guy who takes care of Leonardo DiCaprio's, you know, Candyland's ranch, and he's like trains the people to fight.
Yeah.
So now they're gonna get Kurt Russell, and Kurt Russell's already done work with Tarantino in Death Proof.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? What do you think of Death Proof?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have much feelings about it. I watched it and it was all right, but it's not like it's. I don't think there's much to say on it. It's like it's okay.
Okay, that's fine. I liked it a lot more the second time.
Yeah.
Because I think I was getting more into old films, and I could see that was trying to imitate very old school films.
Yeah.
And then that's why I appreciate it a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so what do you think of Kurt Russell now playing that role instead of Kevin Costner?
I feel like Kevin Costner, is kind of like a cheesy actor. Like, when I think about Kevin Costner, I think about cheesy films. And I think I like it when actors do roles which maybe surprise me. I wouldn't expect him to be doing it, so I would have enjoyed Kevin Costner more than Kurt Russell.
Yeah, you can see Kurt Russell has a dark edge, but you never seen that in Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
So yeah, because that's why I was interested in the first place when they cast that news. I was really excited. I thought, yeah, like this guy. He can fuck people up. You never know.
He's going to bust out a little bit of his acting skills you hadn't seen before. And you're going, no, Kevin, no!
You can never watch Field of Dreams again.
Exactly.
Yeah, So do you even care that Kurt Russell's even playing that role now?
I think Kurt Russell playing that film will maybe blend into the rest of the film slightly more.
Comfortably.
Maybe. I mean, and that might well be a good thing, but I don't think Kurt Russell being in this film is an event like Kevin Costner being in the film would have been.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. The only thing I think would have been a win for me was if he was wearing his eye patch from playing Snake Plissken from Escape from New York.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
He might do.
I hope so. I don't think it'll happen.
He could have just write an email to Tarantino.
Yeah, I think he's written the script already.
You can change it, can't you? I haven't started filming.
I've got to find his email though. If anyone has
Quentin Tarantino's email?
No.
Oh.
But if anyone has Quentin Tarantino's email, can you please email us?
Or his BB pin. He might have put it up on his Facebook.
BB pin. Facebook, yeah, okay. So next bit of news is, considering we talk about Quentin Tarantino and directors, they've shortlisted a couple of names for the new Twilight Zone film.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Twilight Zone is, James?
Yes, a program from, I'm not going to, is it like the 60s in America?
Yeah, 60s.
Strange Tales, the particular famous one, the Gremlin on the Plane.
I've seen that one.
And The Man Who's the Last Man on Earth.
Yeah, I saw that one, that's pretty good.
Particular famous ones, so yeah.
So you've seen it?
I've seen.
Yeah, you've seen something here. That's pretty cool. No, just because they're shortlisting names for Twilight Zone, and you got an idea what Twilight Zone is. So that's what I'm gonna ask you. They're thinking of getting either Christopher Nolan, Alfonso Cuarón, Michael Bay, and Rupert Wyatt. And Rupert Wyatt done Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Alfonso Cuarón done, Children of Men. He done Children of Men. Have you seen that? And he done Harry Potter. And he done Harry Potter 3.
Okay, didn't see that.
You didn't see 3?
No, I didn't see any. I thought
you said, remember. Oh, no, you read up to 4. Yeah, so what do you think of that? What do you think of that shortlist for the Twilight Zone film? And who do you think is the most interesting and who do you think is the least interesting?
What has Rupert Wyatt done again? Sorry?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Yeah, we just saw that.
From that shortlist I'm looking at, I don't really know if any of them for a Twilight Zone film. I don't really know if I would feel. Maybe Chris. No, I don't know. I don't think any of them would make a Twilight Zone film that I would enjoy. I would have thought these directors don't seem particularly like wacky.
Yeah, but I find that was quite interesting when someone says if a director hasn't portrayed that kind of sensibility in his films, it doesn't mean he can't do it.
Well, Ali, if the only knowledge I have on this director is what he's done before, then I can't possibly comment on what he may be able to do in the future.
No, but
apart from reflecting what they've previous done in the future.
Alright.
Don't ask me a question, don't be like, they could do it well, or they couldn't do it well. How the fuck am I supposed to answer that?
No, but you have. Okay, no, but they all have a sense of shooting a film, right? They have a sense of how the films look, right?
Yeah.
So, I would say, like, in my opinion, I think the most obvious, and even though I understand what you're saying, Christopher Nolan hasn't done a film like that really, but he kind of has as well. Because he has, like, his films look, they don't look old school, but they're shot in an old school way sometimes, you know, they look very crisp and clean, like, you know. Whereas something like Alfonso Cuarón and Michael Bay have massive shaky cams, and you know, it's very great. It's, you know, they have a very different colour palette compared to what Christopher Nolan has. Mm-hmm. And Nolan has done films like The Prestige, Memento, and Inception. I mean, these films are, you know, they try to defy the reality that they're giving to us in those films.
Okay, yeah.
Sure. You know, so that's why I was saying, I mean, in a very boring and traditional way, I think Christopher Nolan can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, personally, who's the most interesting is... probably I'm quite tempted to say Michael Bay, because because I would have no fucking clue what it would look like, and that's probably the most interesting thing.
What is there any details on how this film would be? Would it be just one story?
I imagine
would it be like.
Well, I haven't seen the old. There's been another Twilight Zone film before.
Okay.
And the old Twilight Zone film was like 4 stories.
See, that's, I would have thought they would have done something like 3 stories.
Right.
If they did 3 stories, it would be quite cool if they had
a separate director. That's what they did.
I would enjoy it. And like, maybe you set them in like this, the same universe, but obviously the different directors have their own different style.
Yeah.
And I would like that. But I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying with Christopher Nolan. I think that's a better shout than the other names in the list. But I just feel like maybe, because if you've got the Twilight Zone and you've got something that's could be quite subversive and strange, that you could go out there and go for quite an extreme director. Whereas the names, if you're picking the names from this list in particular for one director, then I'm not sure they're looking for someone that can be subversive or make something interesting. They're just looking for someone that knows how to shoot a film that.
That will attract people. I see what you're saying. I think that's why Michael Bay is even on the list. Yeah. Not because studios want to be interested in, I wonder what Michael Bay can do with Twilight. Whereas I'm actually saying, I have no idea what Michael Bay Twilight Zone film will look, because they're meant to be sensible, they're meant to always have a some really interesting allegory about the human condition, which Michael Bay has. the most interesting allegory is how much of a slut a human can be. Man or woman. That's about it. That's the most interesting allegory he's ever created. But, I mean, like, I think Quarren, if you want to be sensible, but still have something really interesting, I think Quarren, I think Rupert Wyatt, he's done all right in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, but I don't think he's shown anything that's, like you said, subversive.
Yeah.
And I don't even see anything even from his that film that was subversive enough that I can, maybe he has another world, because I think it was just a good script and, you know, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and, but he did a good job, but I don't think he done an exceptional job to the point where I think he's good enough to be in this shortlist.
Yeah.
Even, like I said, Michael Bay is a shallow man, but his vision is very odd compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's interesting enough for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's the right decision. Yeah.
It would be interesting to see what Michael Bay would do.
Oh, yeah, but that's
what interesting.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so, I don't know what else to say about that. We can just move on. Move on. So, last episode we talked about Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about spawning into a franchise.
Yeah.
Because there's a massive hit in the UK. It was like number one there and whatnot. We thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It was good, but not great. Even though my friends, like, who haven't seen it at work, they're like, oh no, my friend said it's the greatest film ever. I'm like, I saw it and I think it's okay. And you know, I mean, I'm not trying to say that I'm some, you know, like, perfect film critic or anything. Yeah. But I think I know more about... Well, I shouldn't say that. But I know more about films than those fuckers. So basically, it's just like... Yeah, people are just like, no, it's meant to be amazing. I was like, well, go and watch it and then tell me that. But I've seen it and I think it's okay.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing against it. I thought it was really well acted, but we already reviewed it.
Yeah.
Matter. But what would you think if they made another two films? Because there are two of the books are based on this.
Okay. So... There's other books based. So the first.
I think it's based on Smiley. It's based on Gary Oldman's character.
The series of books.
Yeah, it's a series of books.
Okay, based on Smiley.
Yeah, I think it's just Smiley's.
My initial reaction would be if they were spawning a franchise is that if the next films follow the same kind of pattern of spying is interesting, but it. Essentially, one spy operation to find a mole isn't much different from another spy operation to find a mole, unless you make it a lot different from
the original. I haven't read the books. Yeah,
yeah. If they were basing it on the success of the first film, like, we want to make more films like this, essentially, I feel like if they took a film and made it like that and put it in a different situation, you'd have much the same
result.
Yeah, whereas, like, it's different for something like James Bond, because even though you have the same film, because it has car chases and things like that, those things can be shot different and you feel like you're watching something different.
Right.
Whereas A Man Thinking will always look the same, even if it's set in a different story. So I don't know if that would necessarily be... I mean, they could do something really interesting with it. They could... I would probably watch a film if they went into the past and had... interactions with Smiley and the head of the Russian.
Actually, yeah.
That would possibly be interesting. I made it slightly more adventurous, slightly pacier, like some of the scenes with when people were in Hungary and in Turkey.
Right, right.
That would be more interesting.
Well, the funny thing is when you mentioned the head of the Russian guy, which you never show, supposedly the other two novels are about Carla.
Okay.
So it is like a war of Smiley against Carla.
Mm-hmm.
So I would find it interesting because I think this is why this film is good and I didn't completely mark it down. Because they make a character who never comes on screen really interesting.
Yeah.
And they make him probably interesting as a character as much as Smiley is in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I give the director a lot of credit, give the screenwriters a lot of credit. Yeah. But I think he just faulted in the things like, again, it was a slow burn, but... And the information was a bit too subtle for my liking. Like, in the sense, like, I had to... that shouldn't fault the film as much sometimes, but... It was just like, if you miss one thing, you could miss a lot of the whole film.
I feel like it's not necessarily a fault, because I agree... It might be hard to call it a fault, but then you could say it's almost misleading in the way that because it wants you to concentrate so hard, and you shouldn't necessarily have to pick pieces together after you've left the cinema.
But I think maybe I think what you and I both, well, I definitely concluded was that I think a second watch would probably be preferable. I think you'll probably like that a bit more. Mm-hmm. But okay, so we think it'll be interesting if they do a franchise. I think I really do like Gary Oldman's character. Mm-hmm. I really do hope if they do get someone to actually play Carla, because I haven't read the book, so I don't know what actually happens.
Yeah.
If they do get some character to play Carla, I really hope it does live up to the character they've described in the film so far.
Yeah.
So, and the last bit of news is Universal are deciding to make another version of Scarface, because Scarface was a remake of another film in 1932 or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what the hell do you think of that?
Well, that's quite interesting, because that does lead to something I was going to say later on. But making a new Scarface only ends in two ways. It's going to be, well, for me personally, it's either, if they're smart, they can make it very, 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 very good for me, from my perspective.
Okay. Well, what do you mean by that, though?
Okay, the influence that Scarface has had on hip-hop culture is so massive.
Right, right.
That if you understand what it is about Scarface that hip-hop culture like so much.
Well, what is that? I would like
it's
to
just
know.
it's like the how the story of Scarface himself, so Tony Montana,
right,
his rise from the bottom to the top. You see it and you like kind of, if you're, it's analogous to how all rappers want to feel like. They want to feel like they're like the diamond in the dirt that comes up through their own sheer force of will to become amazing.
Right.
Obviously, rappers don't want to have the part in the end when they're shot to pieces. Yes, they never realise that the end is ultimately doomed. But it's all about having that rise and just becoming, making something yourself through your balls. you have to actually show that rise from the bottom to the top,
right?
In a clear and concise way, and show the character has to be acted well, and you have to show full characterization. Right. If you don't do that and just put in a badass somewhere, then you don't really care about the character. And the setting is important, because they could put it in a setting nowadays that kids would maybe understand, because you hear a lot about, well, not necessarily guns, but you know, hip hop songs. They talk a lot about
violence.
these things, right. And you put it in a setting that kids understand. Then they know a lot about drugs and stuff like that. It could be interesting. But I reckon it would be shit if they actually did it, because they'll just get some big guns and get a bad actor to try and be as violent as possible.
I find, so quickly, one thing I find funny is, because you usually make a remake, right? Because you want to make it relatable to audiences of now.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, most audiences who were attracted to Scarface, mostly from the hip-hop culture, you know, it still attracts them now. It's contemporary. It's that 80s version.
Yeah.
It's so contemporary.
Yeah, that is true.
And I find it quite odd that they're going to do that. And I find that film, like, quite interesting. Like you found it aspiring, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, hip-hop culture.
Yeah, sorry.
The hip-hop culture. I never understood that. Like, I thought these people are messed up if they think they should aspire someone like Tony Montana.
Yeah.
Because in my point of view, you know, Tony Montana is just a dick.
I mean, he's a bad person.
He's a bad person, but I see what he's saying. But it's like, because I think it's the point, you know, he reaches the top, but he has no other way else to go. It's just this lateral path now, and it just leads him to being more, you know, he treats his wife or his girlfriend like shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he does to his sister and, you know, all those kind of things, and the drugs.
Yeah.
It's just him. This is what happens when you do so much sheer will. When you just keep pushing, there's nothing else to push.
Yeah.
You're just gonna be walking around blind and doing whatever. And that's what I think that shows in Scarface, in my opinion.
Scarface,
I thought it was an entertaining film, but I did think it was fucked up. But I think what the film was intended to do, exactly what it intended, but I think I see what hip hop culture's got out of it, but I see you as a film what it's trying to do. I was just trying to say, you can push your will, sheer will.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's right. so that's the end of news.
Mm-hmm.
James, we're going to go into trailers. Do you have any theme for us for trailers?
No, there's no... Why would there be a theme for
trailers? I don't know. You were going film news. So.
Actually, no, but there's already... There's kind of like a trailer theme, isn't there? Because when you go to the cinema, it goes...
Okay, thank you for that. So the first trailer we're going to talk about is... I melt with you.
Yeah, I melt with you.
Yeah. So, what did you think of that trailer, James?
I'm not sure how to feel, because I feel like I might have been blinded by the fact that I like seeing Jeremy Piven in things. But I thought it looked okay. I'm intrigued as to what's going to... It looks very debaucherous. What did you think of the trailer?
Okay, yeah, fine, okay. For me, I thought... Yeah, it looked interesting. I really like Rob Lowe. I think Jeremy Piven is a good actor,
mm-hmm.
although in real life he's a complete dick. But I think do you know why he's a complete dick?
No. What is there a particular
one? Yeah, thing? He's doing something particular. I'll tell you about okay. it. But and what else? Thomas Jane. I really like Thomas Jane, even though he wasn't good in The Punisher, because mm-hmm. he was in The Punisher
okay, yeah.
in the first one. But mm-hmm. I usually like him I think he's a pretty good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the trailer overall, it looks pretty odd. I mean, at first it starts off, it looks like it's going to be, I don't want to be lazy, but I am going to be, because I can't be arsed, but it looks like a hangover for older people.
Yeah, okay, right? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a very good comparison.
Yeah, but you can clearly see there's a bit more depth to it, mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem it's going to go, it's not on the comedy edge, mm-hmm. it's clearly going on to... more about how people live with midlife crisis, yeah. I mm-hmm. think, and how they actually change, especially between friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even now, I'm, 24, and the dynamic I have with my friends has completely changed, and we're so different.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't, I can relate to that trailer, basically, yeah. and hopefully the film,
mm-hmm.
when it comes out. But, so before I talk about the Jeremy Piven thing, let's just roll up this trailer specifically. would you be interested in watching this?
I probably would be interested in watching it. Maybe I would want to find out a little bit more about the film,
right.
just in case, because the trailer lets me know a little bit, but I feel like there's probably, obviously with the trailers, massive chunks of the film that I haven't seen that I might not like. But it looked intriguing now. Something okay. I'll definitely want to find out more about. What about you?
Yeah, I think it looks interesting. That's about it.
Cool.
So yeah, okay, so Jeremy Piven thing, yeah. right? Basically, have you heard of David Mamet?
No, who's that?
He's a famous screenwriter, and okay. he does like a lot of plays.
Yeah.
He's like quite prestigious.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Piven got the role for it on Broadway.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it for a couple of weeks or mm-hmm. months, something. Pardon me. basically, he has to pull out mm-hmm. of it, and his doctor says he has a high level of mercury,
mm-hmm.
and that's just bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, where the hell do you get high level of mercury mm-hmm. that you can't perform in mm-hmm. stage, because you're meant to do it every day? Mm-hmm. And especially pulling out of a David Mamet show, mm-hmm. which is meant to be so prestigious,
mm-hmm.
It was a dick move by him.
Mm-hmm.
And David Mamet was really annoyed when he had an interview. He's just like, he said, yeah, the doctor told us he had a high level of mercury. So, yeah, I just think he's a fucking thermometer. Yeah. So, yeah. It's basically he had some kind of drug issues, obviously. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And, he fucked her over, such a prestigious play mm-hmm. for things like, in debauchery like that. Okay, so that's that. Enough of Jeremy Piven and I Melt With You. Next trailer I want to talk about is actually a HBO TV show.
Okay, yeah.
Called Luck.
Luck.
That was the Dustin Hoffman
one. Yep, I remember.
So, what do you think of that? I mean, have you seen Sopranos?
I haven't, and I keep on meaning to watch it, but the problem is, when you have... If I start watching it, I'll keep on watching it,
yeah.
and I don't want to spend... I've got so much to do that I don't want to get dragged into what I know is a great program.
Right, okay.
But I definitely am going to, one day just buy the box sets, take a couple weeks off and just watch it all.
Fair enough.
Because I have heard, especially the first few seasons, are really good.
I think it gets better after the first season.
Oh, okay.
First season is good,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's great.
Okay. Just on this trailer quickly,
I know I say it on the podcast like every week, I'm an idiot, I need more information than what that trailer's given me. And I like Dustin Hoffman as an actor, but I just need more information before they can try and ensnare me to watch something. What about you?
For me, first, you got an amazing cast. Like, I'm amazed that this is a TV show with Dustin Hoffman and Nick Nolte. You have these actors, and they both say they're Academy Award nominees or winners, whatever. And when you have that, and you're expecting them to do a show every year, I'm kind of worried how they're going to sustain that with you know, these high profile actors.
Yeah,
that's my first worry. But then I am interested just because of that cast. You know, that cast. I mean, that scenario doesn't actually interest me that much, but I can see it just looks like Dustin Hoffman's ready to have. Just be a badass, right? And the other thing I forgot to mention is the pilot is directed by Michael Mann, and he's like one of my favorite directors.
He's a great director.
Yeah, so even though his last few films haven't been great, in my opinion, like Public Enemies or was it Miami Vice he done?
I've seen half of Public Enemies, haven't seen Miami Vice.
You haven't seen Miami Vice? I suppose you haven't seen that.
I don't really like Public Enemies.
Yeah, I thought it was mediocre at best, but I still have hope for Michael Mann. Maybe this is something he can, this might be the material he might need to reinvigorate him, because you got like these two, because one thing you see in a Michael Mann film is two really strong leads always colliding against each other, so in this, if they get to do that, that'll be really interesting. Other than that, I'm looking forward to the show, I probably will watch it.
Okay, cool.
And what about yourself, are you doing Think You'll Have Time?
I would probably not watch it until I heard what you thought of it.
Okay.
And I probably wouldn't watch it if it was like one of those 21 episode.
Oh no, HBO shows are 10 episodes a season.
No, I'd only watch it if it was only.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying HBO is only 10 episodes a season. That's what you don't have to follow. So you don't have to follow like forever. It's like Game of Thrones length, so that's fine. Okay, so the next trailer I want to talk about is The Grey, starring Liam Neeson.
Yep.
What did you think of that trailer, James?
The trailer was okay.
Right.
I read the synopsis of the film, and the synopsis of the film sounds okay. It's basically people in the Arctic.
Yeah.
But there was another part of it which sounded amazing, which is that they're being chased by wolves.
Yeah.
And I would love to see a film of people being chased by wolves, especially if I know they're the same wolf. Same wolves following them, and one of them's got like a red eye or something, and they give it a nickname. That would be awesome.
And you do see like he's getting ready to punch him.
Yeah,
as well,
that so. Looked like that could be a fun time.
Seriously, punching animals is awesome.
I know. Yeah, but
I'm all for animal abuse. you should see what I do to my cat.
I think there should be more films of wolves. Basically, is the thing I'm saying. But what did you think of the trailer?
Yeah, exactly where you concurred. Like, well, I was concurring with you at that moment. But basically, I just wanted to see Liam Neeson punch wolves.
That should just be the name of the film. Liam Neeson punch.
That should
wolves.
Be the that should be the tagline.
And then they could like. Digitally remaster every film Liam Neeson's been in to make him punch a wolf at some stage.
Yeah. In the A-Team. Yeah,
I haven't seen the A-Team.
A-Team's really good. Mm-hmm. But, I'm looking forward to it. Only, probably at DVD though. Mm-hmm. This is like that Taken level, you know, when Liam Neeson and Taken. Yeah. It's like one of those films, like, it's going to be schlocky. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the wife fucking flying in the middle of the air bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't care. I don't care about the human condition.
Yeah.
But Liam Neeson, I want to see what the human can do against a wolf.
Exactly.
And if he can do that, that means I can do that. And when I can do that, that makes me awesome. Yeah. And I will go to the Alaska and do some wolf kicking. But
okay, so we'll make an agreement. If Liam Neeson comes out of this film alive, you have to go to Alaska and fight some wolves.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we do a podcast there.
Well, obviously, we'll do it over Skype.
No.
I'm not going to Alaska.
You're going to Alaska?
I'm not allowed. I can't get a visa for America.
Why?
You can't go to America if you are too good looking.
Well, I don't know what you're on about then, because you're fucking ugly.
That's the awkward silence there. Tumbleweed. Anyway.
Thanks for that, James. You could have felt bad about it, but it's fine. It's fine, you prick. So next trailer I want to talk about is J. Edgar.
J. Edgar.
J. J. Edgar, the guy who created the FBI.
Jedgar.
No.
Is it a film about Jed Wood's rise to fame?
No. You know Leonardo DiCaprio's hair is nearly similar to theirs. I can see now where they came from. Directed by Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else do I want to say about this? It's got Leonardo DiCaprio, obviously.
Yeah.
It's got to
be... You don't like Leonardo.
I think he can't act for shit. That's simple as that. And I think this trailer proves it further.
Uh-huh.
He can't act for shit.
Okay.
Because he just does not look like a compelling leader.
He's Hollywood's big leading man.
Is he really?
I think Christian Bale is. I think Leonardo DiCaprio is the go-to guy people go for...
generic, boring leading man?
Yeah, for like generic films they want to...
To be honest, that's more Sam Worthington. He's the guy from Avatar.
Oh no, but no, Sam Worthington is not the man you put on the poster to attract people to films.
You think Leonardo DiCaprio is?
Yes.
Okay.
People fucking love Leonardo DiCaprio.
I mean, the only interesting part for me is because I used to watch Burn Notice. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch Burn Notice?
No.
Okay, but it's a pretty good spy show. It's a lot of fun. But the lead actor from that is basically going to be playing JF Kennedy.
Okay,
so yeah. I thought that'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. But the trailer, I actually do think it looks interesting besides Leonardo DiCaprio, even though he's the lead of it. But I think the surrounding cast is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's not Helen Mirren, but the other white lady.
Was that Dame Judi Dench?
Yes! That's it. I'm just going to say Helen Mirren. Because I just can't think of any other white British lady. But she's in it. Arnie Hammer from Social Network is in it, but you haven't seen Social Network, so you don't know.
No.
I do like Clint Eastwood. I think he's a really good director.
Yeah.
It does look interesting, but it looks kind of generic at the same time.
Yeah.
It looks Oscar bait. It doesn't.
Maybe. I think my personal feelings on the trailer is that at the start of the trailer, I wasn't really feeling it too much. But as it was going through and I realised that how important this man was to the forming of like a large organisation that I've seen in many different films and TV shows, that the film might be interesting, but I'm only basing that on the fact that I feel like J. Edgar Hoover's life might be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would translate that well to a film, and I don't even know if his life was interesting or if they're just trying to shoot.
Well, I know that, I don't know if it's rumoured or it's actual fact, but I know he was closet gay.
Yeah, there's rumours of cross-dressing.
Was it cross-dressing as well? Okay. But I actually would have liked the guy from speaking of Public Enemies, the guy who activated J. Edgar to actually be the J. Edgar in this film, because he looked the part, he sounded actually like J. Edgar, whereas this Leonardo DiCaprio just sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his voice sounds really off, but... Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I can't remember his name now. I really like that actor as well. He's from Watchmen. You know, he's Dr. Manhattan.
I can't remember the name.
Damn it. I really like that actor, but... Well, I would like him. Well, I think that's the end of trailers.
Hey!
Now, James, we need a theme for what we consume. No?
No.
No?
It's the worst section, so it doesn't get
a thing. How is it the worst section? I would like to know that.
It's weird. So, what we consumed is either really good or really bad, depending on what we've actually consumed. Sometimes when we've watched boring things, especially that the other one can't really relate to, then it's just kind of like, well, nobody cares. But then sometimes it's great and it starts off a great conversation about all sorts of interesting stuff.
Okay.
That's my feelings.
Okay, James, it is. What have you consumed, James?
I have a list. I wrote it down.
He's actually wrote a list. He's actually organised for once, rather than forgetting everything.
There's one thing on my list that I don't need to actually do that. I'm going to start backwards from the bottom of my list. The bottom of my list is How I Met Your Mother. The new series is back.
Yeah, I'll be watching How I Met Your Mother.
You watch How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, I watch
How I Met Your Mother. So How I Met Your Mother, the series that tempts you into thinking you're going to find something out and then doesn't tell you anything.
I gather you're finding it a bit annoying they don't tell you shit.
It annoys me. It's really, really easy to watch, so it gets away with it.
But like there was times where I feel like it was getting close, and I definitely feel like it suffers from the we don't know how the fuck we're supposed to be, where this story's supposed to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Problem. But I mean, like, it makes me laugh mildly, so that's why I keep on watching it. But it's back. I had a couple of debates with my friends about whether I should get invested in it again or if I should just drop it like
right.
a dead weight. So have you watched the first few episodes?
Yeah, I watched the first few episodes. I just try not to care as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
as the show tries to make me think I should. Should give a shit who the mother is. Because really, I think the writers are retarded to the point. If they actually just said, okay, this is the mother.
Yeah.
Let's just carry on the story.
Well, that's what I thought they were going to do. Like, obviously, they don't want to say who the mother is because it's a popular program they can make money from. So I thought like they'd drag out that story. But I thought they should have said, oh, this is the mother, and then talked about how he wooed her, and it's the same, just carry it on. There's no reason why keep it a mystery.
I think the thing is because Ted is becoming more of a dick mm-hmm. per season.
You find it hard to believe that he would ever find anyone?
Because he's a dick.
Yeah.
Because he's just so pretentious. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even interesting. It's like, he just says it to sound like, you know, he just comes off as a douche,
mm-hmm.
right? And I mean, I like Barney, but Barney kind of he's getting confusing now.
Barney's got too far for me. Like, I mean, he's almost parodying himself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like he's sometimes he's this really deep, he cares for this girl or that girl, but then he's a complete dick the next second. And but the thing was, early in the seasons when he saw the nice side, it's because he was growing.
Yeah.
But if he reverts back to that, it's not him growing, it's just him regressing, mm-hmm. and that's not interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like Marshall, but I think, I hate Lily.
Yeah.
I've always hated Lily.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, I think she's an awful person. Yeah. Like, I'm amazed that Marshall sticks over her. Like, genuinely, I think he should have divorced her, mm-hmm. or whatever, because remember when Lily ditched him?
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a minute. So Lily ditches Marshall,
mm-hmm.
she comes back, puts a massive debt on him, then she makes him get a work at a law firm he didn't want to work at,
mm-hmm.
and then she bitches as well that he's working at a nice law firm. Like, sorry, I've always had to make that rant, but she's a fucking bitch. Like, I really have to say it. I think she's an awful person. Because she's so mean.
You need to calm down. She's not real.
No, but I'm saying that she's meant to be part of a core group, right?
I know,
and she's meant to be the moral. She's meant to be the moral compass as well.
Yeah,
she's not the moral compass. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because she judges everyone.
I know what you mean. She is really, really annoying.
I'm just saying, if you can't be judgmental if you're the worst character on the show. That's why I think Barney has more credence, mm-hmm. right? But I love Robin. I don't know why. I just like Robin. She's simple. She's not over the top. But she's cool as well. Like, she smokes a cigar when she can.
The actress that plays Robin isn't very good at acting.
She's probably not good at acting, but she's very attractive.
I don't even find her attractive.
What?
Okay, number two on my list.
Okay.
Is a program I didn't want to get dragged into too much. How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
Basically, yeah, we both watch it. We when something big happens, we can mention it. Fresh Meat. A new program on Channel 4 about students.
Alright.
Comedy program.
I hate the comedian in it.
Jack Whitehall.
The one with the beard.
Yeah, have you been watching it?
No, I haven't. But I just hate him anyway whenever he comes in Mock the Week. I think he's the least funniest at comedian. Easy there. Because he just says, yes, I'm posh, but I know I shouldn't be. Ha ha. And that's his joke. And I'm like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. But anyway, carry on.
Oh, sorry. Basically, got quite good reviews. People were like, funny, refreshing, reminds me of Spaced. It's not like Spaced. It's mildly funny. I would say, if anything, it's like a mix between... It's like in-betweeners with less jokes about clunge. Just less jokes in general, because there's quite a lot of dead space, which I hate. But it was mildly funny enough for me to watch the first two episodes, and I'll probably carry on with it.
Okay.
Mostly what it makes reminds me of is how awkward I found university personally.
Really?
Yeah. So the program, a lot of the jokes is like kind of like awkward humour, how the kids at university feel awkward, especially because they're now new to university and just met each other and living with each other. I didn't really like university.
Really?
No.
I find that quite surprising.
That I didn't like university?
Yeah, yeah.
I know, I didn't
I think you're not though. I think you seem quite sociable.
I'm quite loud.
I'm loud.
Yeah, you're loud, but I can talk a lot. I will talk, but it doesn't. I wasn't necessarily enjoying myself.
Really? I just thought the crew.
It wasn't like I was sad, but like.
No, I know, yeah. But I just thought the crew you had, it seemed like you were all quite tight, and then you had people always coming around, and you're always having fun or something.
Well, I mean, I had fun with Dave.
Yeah,
but
Dave.
But no one else in the course I was friends with apart from you.
Yeah, but not on the course, but I'm talking about outside it.
Outside, for example, Theo, you know one of my friends, he's from school, so.
Oh, okay. I went to school with him.
Oh,
I didn't know
he's
that.
He's the first friend I made at secondary school. So that's how I know him.
Wow, like, so you go way back.
And like another of my closer friends at university was from school.
Okay.
And I spent a lot of time with my girlfriend who I met before university.
I agree with you. I never got along with hardly anyone in my course. Like, I thought I did, but I just realised, like, I don't find these people that interesting. I genuinely didn't. I just thought, like, this is why you and I hang out, because although I'm an odd person to you...
He's a strange one.
I'm intriguing. I intrigue you.
That's probably the correct word to use while I feel about you. You do intrigue me.
I'm not too... That doesn't mean I'm anything interesting, that good. It just means... I just amuse him. Like a monkey with a cigarette can.
I like putting him in situations and seeing what happens to him.
Yeah, he's my Carl Pilkington and I'm his as well. But anyway, what the fuck are we going on? Oh yeah, so Fresh Meat. Okay, I just wouldn't watch it because I hate that guy.
You're not missing out on the next cultural phenomenon, no matter how much The Guardian want you to think.
Fuck
you are.
The Guardian with their taste in films and media. Oh, you know, they're so fucking posh and up their own arse. Unbelievable. Just like, if we deconstruct this, you know, you can really see the culture coming in. I was like, no, you fucking can't. Mm-hmm. What uni are they meant to portray anyway?
It's Manchester.
Really?
Set in Manchester at like a fake Manchester University. Mm. That's not called Manchester University, but it's in Manchester.
Do they do any kind of clubbing experience that's interesting, or is it just
constantly? They haven't. In the first episode, they were just in a pub. In the second episode, they had a house party and they were in a club for a really small amount of moment. They didn't really show. That any experiences outside the main characters just talking to each other.
What kind of background does this cast have?
You mean like a class and racial background? There is a mixed race girl. I'm mentioning the people that aren't white.
Okay.
Middle class.
Right.
There's a mixed race girl.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
So I wonder, because that's what I was like, have you seen uni? It's like, especially in somewhere like Manchester or London, it's like they're dominated by like Asian. I mean
you reckon? I was in uni, I just felt like I was around pure white people.
Really?
Walking through Manchester, in parts of Manchester you do see a lot of ethnic minorities, but if you spend a lot of time just around students, I saw a lot more white people than I was used to when I was in London.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's a bit different because there are in the bits of Manchester where you spend, if you're going down Oxford Road, you go through the Curry Mile and you see Asian people, but there wasn't a lot of black people.
No, okay, I agree with that part. I just thought Curry Mile.
That's what it's called.
No, but it's just like you see Asian people like Curry Mile.
You do see them, racist. You do. Sorry, listeners. You see Chinese people in Chinatown.
Fucking racist. But I'm not trying to be a shit, you know, because I know I'm talking a lot about race in podcasts I do, and I'm always, it's not anything that's actually with white people. I just think because a lot of Asians and black people are usually portrayed as something as pretty much rude boy, shallow people.
Yeah, I think,
if you know what I mean. And I would love to see in a university culture what Asian people can possibly be, so black people, because we're there to be educated, so we're quite smart people, that means, right? And I don't want to be smart in the sense, hey, we want to be doctors and all this bullshit. Mm-hmm. I actually want to see what, you know, we've seen med students and dentist students.
Yeah.
Those fucking people can party harder than me.
Mm-hmm.
And they have less time than me. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
And I would be interested in something like that. I'm not saying completely, yeah. but just like to yeah. the point like fresh me could even acknowledge that.
I agree with you because they have an opportunity to show what the experience going to university for various different people could be, including ethnic minorities, and that experience is different from other people, but they're not going to show that.
Yeah, but because that's, you know, the other thing is though, it's interesting. Well, just from what you tell me, it's uninteresting because we've seen how the white middle class or lower class enjoy themselves in university in films. Like, you know, there are films like American Pie, Animal House. Okay, even though they're not university, they are around the same scenario of social awkwardness and sex, and which is basically what university is all about. Yeah. And if they'd done that through different point of views, rather than just these four well-spoken people, I imagine, then it's uninteresting, you know?
There isn't... You really... And the
I know you watch it. I mean, like, just to be
in terms of what you're saying, it might, he's right, it might sound harsh because they don't, you might be like, oh, why are you focusing on this? Because they don't talk about, they talk a little bit about the characters, you don't really know much about them.
Right.
I can tell you that they're white and quite well spoken, but there isn't a lot of characterization about how they would feel about, they all react to university in pretty much the same way, so which doesn't tell you anything, but. I think they're focusing on just the awkwardness of university. That's not to say that they're purposely ignoring other things.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying. Yeah, you're right. They have an opportunity to do that, and that would be more interesting than what they are doing, which is something I feel like you've seen before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it's just, you know, it's a cultural hive. Yeah. That's what the university life is, and if you just ignore it just to that point, it's really, it's just, it's a bit, it's sad because usually British drama is always interesting compared to Americans. I mean, Americans are trying to groundbreaking stuff here and there as well, but I think UK is so much more multicultural than any other, than most countries that they should acknowledge that.
Yeah,
especially if, no, it doesn't matter. Sorry, it just annoys me because I think you have potential and I already hate the cost, not because of the race, just because I hate that comedian.
Jack Weigel.
And I was just, you know, I would just hope that they could at least do something more interesting, but whatever. So the next thing, James, go on.
The next thing, Black Dynamite.
Oh, damn, you saw that?
I did, yeah.
Oh,
the film that Ali recommended to me.
I still haven't seen it.
The way I feel about Black Dynamite is that it is what it's a, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it because it's a good spoof film, and I don't think people, I think people in films forgot how to do spoofs. They thought a spoof was take a situation and then put the same stupid fart jokes, silly jokes in, rather than take something that you might even enjoy, but like actually take the mickey out of it.
Yeah, right.
Take the things that are funny about that and make fun of it, like the bad acting or the way people react to each other or the way it's shot or how, you know, because it's a spoof on you know, a blaxploitation
kind of
film character, and they take the piss out of that kind of film, but I feel like they do it in a loving way and they don't resort to just getting a man who has an afro but then just putting in a reference that other people might find funny.
That is bullshit. Yeah. Not another teen movie.
It wasn't like that. It was like, these are people that have watched these films before
and they love them.
They love them and they watch them all the time, but they find it hilarious when one of the actors fucks up their lines.
So you spoil that. But, damn you, James!
There are some very stupid bits in it, but overall I enjoyed it because I felt like at least they understood what a spoof was supposed to be.
Okay, cool. I know there's one more thing you watch, but I think let me just put off
what that's I was fine, saying. Yeah.
And we'll then go on to the last bit we want to talk about. And that's not the review we're actually talking about. Oh, yeah, because we're reviewing Drive, which I forgot to mention at the start of the podcast.
The big review!
Oh, yeah. The big review. That's what we call it. But anyway, so one of the things I can recall I watched was Attack the Block. It just came out.
Watched it again?
Yeah, I watched it again.
Did you like it anymore?
I liked it a bit more. Mm-hmm. I did, because I already had a negative... I felt so negative about it already, right? Uh-huh. That for me to watch it again, I can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it, but I still have the exact same issues with it. The fact that, like, these guys... Because, you know, we were talking about the Warrior, why they're unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a point where the the Warriors forget who they are.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Attack the Block, they forget what they actually did in a way. Yeah. Like, especially because it happened one night. Mm-hmm. These kids call the girl a snitch.
Yeah.
Which really pissed me off. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, hey, you snitch. Yeah. You went to the police after we mugged you.
Yeah.
You're an awful person. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and the way they said it, like, they actually meant it.
Yeah.
And you know, that's true. You would actually see that.
Do you think that? I don't think that. I don't think that people, okay, if someone robs you, they're a bad person. I don't think they're stupid enough to think that someone won't go to the police. And I think that
they're to the police, but then to call them snitch. That's what I'm saying, to actually call them a snitch. But why wouldn't she snitch?
Exactly.
That's my point. But I can see people's psyche.
Do you reckon?
I think people are close-minded enough. If they can do stuff like that, they can be close-minded enough. I don't know if it's necessary.
It's weird, because the reason why you don't like the film is because the characters are so unlikable, and I agree with you. And the reason I didn't like the film is because the characters have some realism to them, but I don't think that they portrayed them very well.
Well, okay, you know what I was saying about the whole snitch thing, and I think that it could exist. It's the same thing in school, in a way, right? If you ever got bullied, right, and then you want to tell a teacher, you would be called a snitch.
Okay, yeah.
You understand? Mm-hmm. It's similar kind of psychology.
Yeah,
because, in why? Why shouldn't I defend myself? If I can't beat you up, might as well the next smart thing and actually tell someone.
Yeah.
I mean, but obviously in our school culture and school mind, we're cowards when we're just clearly smarter not to get into a fight. I mean, I have been in fights, but not many, but I've been in some. But I think it would be just smart to snitch and just say, fuck it, you know, I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever. This is just what I'm saying. Like, and that annoyed me. And it just, that really relates to me. Like, these kids relate to me as people who I hated when I was young. And that's the biggest problem. And that's why I think Americans love this shit, because they never had this issue. You know, like, they didn't get to face London Rude Boys.
Okay.
That's my point, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't know how it was with you in school, but
I mean, they were about.
But I probably ran into them more than I like to. So, you know, and yeah, simple as that. I think that was one issue. But I do think action wise it's really good.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is amazing. Uh-huh. It is genuinely amazing soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
It is, even if they're dislikable, it's still a well acted film most of the time.
You think? I didn't like the kids.
I thought the kids were good.
I thought most of the other characters were okay.
I thought Nick Frost was actually weak.
I thought Nick Frost.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna. Oh, this is gonna sound awful. No, I thought I didn't know. Apart from the girl, I didn't like any of the actors in it.
Okay. No, I thought they acted fine, because that's why, and I think that's why my hatred came up.
Okay,
that's fine. I thought they were great. I
called them bad, and I think that's a bit harsh. I did think it's a bit harsh to say they were bad.
I mean, for the fact that they were kids.
Yeah.
The fact that they were kids and they acted that way.
Should I give them the benefit of the doubt?
You don't. Where's the doubt? I mean, it's not benefit. You don't need to give a benefit. You actually saw it.
They're young. Give them a chance. Should I give them a chance?
Oh, do you think they're benefit of the doubt if they're going to grow up to be better actors? I think most of them will not be. I'll be straight up. I think probably John Boyega will be.
Okay.
I think John Boyega can do some serious stuff.
Okay.
But not right now.
Okay.
If he gets more world, we were talking about it before, isn't it? The Brick, he might be in that. So if he turns out good in that, then good. But yeah, that was one thing I watched. I also watched Tucker and Dale versus Evil. It's a really funny film. It's basically it just came out recently, so I watched it. You know, you see those horror films where you see like someone in the south and it's like a crazy family and they kill kids and whatnot, right? Yeah. So this is the perspective of the actual family.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's not family. There's two hillbilly mates.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're evil.
Yeah.
But they're actually just good guys. But they can get into mishaps that make them look evil.
Okay.
And it's really, really funny. And there's moments that made me laugh out loud. And it's actually, there's really well choreographed action as well. It's pretty low budget, but I really liked it. Like, Alan Tudyk's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from like Firefly. He's pretty good. There's the other guy, the fat guy, Tyler Labine.
Mm-hmm.
He's the, like... Did you watch Reaper?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the fat guy from that. And I really like him. I always liked him.
Mm-hmm.
So those two are in it. in the misunderstandings, the both of the teen, because you see a point of view from the teenage kids, right? Yeah. And you see the point of view from their point, you know, what's happening to them. I mean, they do things that turns out to make them look evil when they're not evil. Okay. And it's just so funny, like, what happened. It's just, yeah, it's a good, it's just, it, the fact that it lost, that misunderstanding between these two groups lost throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
Is really surprising to me, because you think the gimmick would get old, but it just gets funnier and more ludicrous. 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 That's Ludicrous's new rap name. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I thought that was really good. And those two films I watched. Shows, you're going to hit and laugh at me for some of the shows I have seen. Before, one is Parks and Recreation. Have you ever seen that?
No, it's been recommended to me.
I highly recommend that. If you like Community, which we will talk about, but I highly recommend Parks and Recreation because it's actually funnier than
Community. But didn't you say that you don't like Aziz Ansari?
I think he's okay. I never said I don't like him. I think he's okay. But he's not the strongest part of the show anyway. Yeah. He's not the most important or anything.
Is, what's her name? Quincy Jones' daughter.
Oh, Rashida Jones?
Yeah.
She's very good. Okay. She's not funny, but she's a great straight woman. She's a straight woman.
She's an attractive woman.
She's very attractive.
She's an attractive woman.
She's in Social Network, so I told you to watch that. So Parks and Recreation, highly recommend it. Rob Lowe's in it as well.
Okay, cool.
So I just really like that show. It's my favourite comedy, easily.
Mm-hmm.
There's a show I do watch, and it doesn't sound right. Yeah. But it sounds like it's for catered to women, but it's not catered to women.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's a really well show with great mythology, and it's called The Vampire Diaries.
I don't even know if I've heard of that.
Okay, but it's pretty good. It's got the guy from. Did you even know you didn't watch Lost? So I don't know what the show.
Some characters in Lost.
He was at the start of it. He had like the sister who was really hot, and they liked each other.
No.
He was also in Smallville. Did you watch Smallville, right?
I watched Smallville for much of it.
It was a guy, I think he was revived from Kryptonite or something.
I don't know him either.
No, okay, I can't remember. But he's really good in it. There's another, the cast is that you think, right? Like, it's basically people, and you think it's going to be Twilight.
Yeah.
But after I read some critics, they actually said, no, this is a good show,
mm-hmm.
and don't let the name fool you.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, this is like the third season, so I've just watched the opening of that.
Yeah.
But say if you ever did want to watch it, ignore the first two episodes.
Okay.
Like, watch them, just to get to know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fucking, because it's really bad the first two episodes.
Yeah.
But after that, then they start picking up. Like, basically, it's a show that actually delivers on its twists and questions.
Yeah.
They have to pose something like, why did this happen? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
It actually, stays true to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of stay true to the vampire mythology. Like, but it doesn't, but they make up some cool stuff. Like, it's not stupid, but it makes sense what is happening. So it's nothing, it's not like Twilight where they're fucking sparkly, because now there's different ways of how vampires can become vampires.
Yeah.
At least this is consistent. There's only one way, and they tell you how it happens, and it's fine. It's like, okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Basically, if you drink a vampire's blood, and then you're killed, then you become a vampire.
Okay.
Which is okay by me, because there's sometimes in a vampire film, you bite the neck, they're a vampire.
Yeah.
Or you have to spark, I don't know, Twilight bullshit. But it's not Twilight bullshit. It's, again, well acted, good mythology, good chemistry, has good comedy. No, it's not really funny, but when they have deliver a smug line, it works.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So even if it's called Vampire Diaries, I highly recommend it. I don't think there's any other show I want to talk about. Ooh, Young Justice is back, the cartoon show. Have you heard of Young Justice?
No.
It's basically Justice League's. It's a Justice League.
I've heard of that.
So Young Justice is basically like the sidekicks, who are the younger sidekicks of the actual Justice League in their own league, and it's just their adventures, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I always like the DC animation stuff anyway. So. It has that same look from the Batman era and the Justice League era.
Yeah.
The Justice League was really good as well. So I would recommend it. Yeah, it's a bit odd because in America it keeps releasing every other week sometimes.
Yeah.
And you don't know when it's going to be released. So, yeah. But I still recommend that. Mm-hmm. And now last show you and I want to talk about.
No, I've got one more thing. Before that as well.
Okay.
Remember, I have to complain about something.
Okay.
I didn't tell you 2 weeks ago. Well, I'll start. I'll do that and then we'll.
Fine.
It'll go on a dark note than a light note. I want to complain about American Gangster.
Oh, yeah, treat me that. So, yeah, go on. Okay.
Yeah, so this comes back slightly to my Scarface point earlier.
Before you carry on, I just want to quickly remind the listeners, it's the Ridley Scott film with Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington.
Okay.
And it is based on a real gangster.
Yeah,
So, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, based on the true story, I hate those words at the start of the film.
Just say, copying some parts of it.
Like, what does that mean? But really, I watched this with my girlfriend. Remember, listeners, I have a girlfriend.
That kills people.
And she...
And with a clean CRB.
She really enjoyed it.
Really?
And I thought it was shit.
Okay.
I thought it was seriously shit. And I think they completely misunderstood what makes people interested in a film like that. Because the character wasn't interesting because he was just a man and then he was a badass who seemed to have everything he wanted. And there was no fucking development. You don't know his story. And... it almost felt like there was no story, just an excuse for them to have Denzel Washington being a black gangster.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you enough information to get you interested at all, and you're just like, well, this is fucking... And it just drags on with bullshit, and it made me angry.
Okay, no, I agree. I mean, when I watched it, when I came out, so I was like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, because it wasn't... it didn't do something awful.
Yeah.
Like, in the sense, it doesn't, like, have the... it's not badly acted or whatever.
Yeah,
it's it's played so boringly straight, though.
Yeah.
Like, there's no attempt to elevate this anything.
No.
And Denzel Washington kind of made me laugh at him.
Mm.
It was kind of him, like, I want to be what I was. Not exactly in Training Day, but it's kind of like, I want to elevate to that kind of insanity. But he never had the script to do that.
Yeah.
He never had the opportunity in the whole movie to do that. He never done anything that made me say, oh shit, I'm scared of this guy. It was, it's nothing. And Russell Crowe was absolutely boring character. Nothing going on.
And I felt like they could have... They wanted to pick a proper... they didn't try and pick a proper story arc that I was interested in. I felt the way that some of the Russell Crowe bits were okay-ish, but it was kind of like, you had two separate things, and then suddenly it's like, oh, fine, they've come together. And then at the end, the last ending bit is awful.
Fuck,
and I feel like that was only put in just because if they didn't, the real life Russell Crowe would have been like, I'm a bit pissed that you... didn't show me in which he was actually pissed with the film.
The real life one.
The real life one was a little bit pissed with the film with his portrayal of himself.
Why is that?
Because you know all the bullshit about like his kid and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He never had a kid.
It's based on a true story.
Exactly.
Bullshit.
But it just felt like it was plodding. It was trying to be a black Scarface without even knowing why. People might enjoy Scarface.
You know, it's funny, right? I don't want to... God, this... Yeah, it'll come off... I don't want to be racist, dude, but I just remember a DJ on radio, right?
Yeah.
And this is the year I Am Legend came out as well. And he was of a... He was a black DJ, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be a dick, but it just made me laugh when he was saying, who do you think should win the Oscar? Will Smith or Denzel Washington for American Gangster? And I was about to like break the fucking car. I was like, what are you on about, mate? Like, I get it. If an Asian guy was up for Oscar, it might be the same.
Yeah.
But I think there's better actors than those two guys in that film.
Was this a British guy?
Yeah, he's a British DJ. I don't want to say it's Richard. No, it's fucking Trevor Nelson.
Okay.
It's Trevor Nelson.
I feel like a lot of, I don't know, I might be wrong saying this, a lot of older black people. Especially in America, and especially in that film there was hip hop, there was rappers.
Busta Rhymes in it or something?
The Rizzle was in it.
Oh, that's it. Rizzle's always in it.
Common was in it, and T.I. was in it.
Yeah.
And
Jay-Z did an album called American Gangster, in which he recorded in the studio and watched that film for inspiration. So I can tell you that album is not good. Yeah. In fact, my favourite song from that album is a song that was recorded about 4 years before the film came out and actually has some relevance, but that it's basically like, I feel like they had a lot invested because they were like, oh, this is our opportunity to make an interesting black gangster film,
mm-hmm.
and they fell on their face completely.
Yeah. Okay, and I think that's enough of that. We're actually running quite long, so we're going to... Okay. Yeah, but let's go and talk about Community now. And so, James, Community, what do you think of it?
It's back. I love Community. It's funny. Actually, did I like this? I've only seen the first episode of this season. I didn't like it as much as some other episodes, but that's fine. They don't all have to be as great. I love Abed and Troy's... the way they interact together.
Yeah, they're amazing.
So that could just keep me engrossed. I actually really like Piers as well.
Piers?
As a character.
Really? Okay, I find it interesting.
The shit he says makes me laugh. Like, he just says some oddball stuff. So I think they've got enough oddball characters to keep me engrossed, even if there are some weaker stories, and I'm glad it's come back.
Okay, cool. I really like Principal Dean. I really like Vice.
He's
amazing. I really like the Vice Principal now, John Goodman.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was awesome when he dominated Principal Dean, and that just really worked. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why Omar's in this. Like, why is Michael K. Williams?
That was a bit weird.
I know people were like, I read in the blogs and everyone's, oh my god, he's in the Community.
Yeah.
This crazy stunt casting. Yeah. And it was just stunt casting. Like, it wasn't meant, and I think what I picked up from it wasn't actually meant to be funny.
Yeah.
It was meant to be serious. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that works in Community. I don't like when I find it really odd because, like you said, these characters are awful to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when they try to grab a moment when they try to be real, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But because I'm not a Community hater, I'd really do like Community. Yeah. I used to love it, but I think I now like it because I think it's really, really self-aware of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point, it's like, you know those inside jokes people have? Like, I know all the jokes. Like, it's not that. I just think it's too inside. Like, it's too cool.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, they do that. I mean, they do that over the whole character and the story.
Yeah.
They sometimes they just do it for the sake of having an inside culture.
I definitely know what you mean.
Yeah, and
it's one of those.
I'm not a hater. I genuinely am not a hater. I really do like Community, but I think sometimes it's just trying to do something for the sake.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for the sake, not so you can telling a story, which is probably the most important thing in a comedy or in anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just to be cool. I mean, it was in the first one where, have you seen 2001? Space Odyssey?
No.
Okay.
No, sorry.
No, because there's a bit where. Yeah. Oh god, Jeff, when he's in the bed, remember when he thinks he's pissed and he sees a table.
Oh yeah.
And that's picked from 2001 Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, to a normal person that joke doesn't relate.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what comedy sometimes should be. It should be broad enough.
Mm-hmm.
I got the joke.
Yeah.
But I didn't care for it, you know what I mean? It was just like, I get it. He just referenced 2001. Yeah. That's and I kinda got in story wise as well, because it's Jeff talking about how he becomes pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. And and in 2000 Space Odyssey, that big thing, that table, is actually a monolith.
Yeah.
And the monolith in Space Odyssey, it's how monkeys evolve into man who become violent.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of... So I see how deep it goes, but I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
English trying to be smart. Okay. We love Community.
Yeah.
I still love Community. I was always watching it. I highly recommend people watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Please watch from the beginning of season one and watch a lot of films on the side to actually get half the references.
Yeah.
So do that. And watch Cougar Town, because there's a really good joke of Abed. Like, Abed's actually in Cougar Town.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw like a clip.
That was brilliant, though.
Yeah.
That is absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, that made me laugh so hard. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's the end of what we consumed. Been a long part. We're going to come back with a big review.
Big review!
Of Drive.
Okay.
So stay tuned and we'll be back. welcome back to our final segment of episode 15.
It's a big review.
Of the big review.
It's a big review of Drive.
Of Drive.
Yeah.
So directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, starring Ryan Gosling.
Okay. I was just saying, this film's fresh. We've just seen this film.
Oh, yeah. So we just watched
Just saw this film
a couple of hours ago. James.
Yeah, no, I want to ask you first.
No,
it's better if you go first. Tell me.
No, because I know what you're going to say.
You don't know. You do not know. Tell me before Drive. Please tell me before Drive. Better if you go first.
Because I want to hear your honest opinion.
It is better if you go first.
Why are you going?
I won't be articulate enough to go first.
All right, fine. I absolutely love Drive. I can see Jay's face. Just not happy. He is not happy. James, get up. I just absolutely loved it. I thought this film, he just worked on every level for me.
You're taking the piss, aren't you?
I told you to go first.
It wouldn't have worked if I'd gone first.
Okay. So let me talk, and you just look away. Because you're clearly just going mental.
Okay, go on.
Bloody hell.
Go on.
Alright, I thought it was extremely well paced. I thought the story was really good. I thought Ryan Gosling...
James... Carry on.
Wow. Ryan Gosling... Okay, so the story is basically... He's basically a driver... And he does sometimes, he does it usually in films, but he's also a getaway driver for any kind of criminal activity. That's his role. He likes her neighbor, and basically when he gets involved with his neighbor, who's Carey Mulligan, he gets involved in other things, and from that things escalate. But yeah, I liked it. I thought when the action came up, it was really good. I thought he was, Ryan Gosling didn't say much, but he portrayed someone who wasn't just a pretty face. But Jane, I can't do this. You look really upset.
How can you like that film? Like, I don't know. There are bits of the film that are, I think it's okay. I think it's a film that had potential, but it is so pretentious. It is achingly pretentious. It's a film that thinks that if people don't just stand and stare at each other the whole time. There's so much needless silence and not just like... You can't have a film... Okay, you can have a film where people aren't speaking. But at least something in the scene has to be going on. And if people are sitting in a diner talking and you have silence, that silence has to be for a reason. What the silence they had was because I felt like the actors were trying to think of what they were saying. It doesn't know how to build tension. You don't just build tension by having big spaces. You build tension by having something tense happen. And those are times when something tense wasn't happening, there was just nothing happening. And then suddenly it's like, oh fuck, we've got to have something happen. So then it just went over the top and made something ridiculous happen.
Wow.
And it's just like, think about it. You don't go from zero to nothing. Zero to like off your fucking tits just for the sake of it.
Okay, wow, you're really angry about this.
There was a lot of it that was just so needless, and when I started watching the film, I was actually quite, the opening scene, it got me quite excited, because I thought I was going to enjoy it from that time. I thought in that opening scene they did build tension, and it did make me feel interesting. I was wondering what was going to happen in that chase, but they did it interestingly. It wasn't just adrenaline, it made me think this is how someone would probably
get away. Yeah.
But it did feel tense, and I was like,
really?
What's gonna happen? I was like, what's gonna happen? What are these characters like? And it was like, he's a sharp, intelligent man, and he conducts his business in a sharp, intelligent way. But then when he's on screen, there's a difference between dark and brooding and a goon. People know when to speak, and they know how to interact with each other, and it's just so disappointed.
Wow,
could have been a good film.
Oh man, this guy.
I was excited. When I watched the start, I was like,
things about it that I thought was good, and which makes me upset that I didn't like it.
Yeah, okay.
It's because I like, go on. I like kind of like stuff about it, like how it's it had things that were harked back to the 80s, which remind me of the game growing up, GTA
Vice City.
And I was like, is this gonna, like, I felt like it was gonna be as exciting, well, not as exciting as Vice City. Vice City's ridiculous.
You're right.
But like, I felt like it could have felt a little bit like if Vice City was a reasonably intelligent film, but they tried to be too intelligent.
Okay. I see. Okay, so I will. So that's the funny thing. I was really apprehensive about this film before I came in, because the amount of hype this film got and why everybody's like loving it, oh, this is great. So I thought, and you know, in America, audiences didn't like this film, and even people I know in real life said, no, this film isn't that great. So I was really, my expectations just went low, because we already lost speak with Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, where I already anticipated film, and critics loved it, and then I didn't come out loving it, so I had the same apprehension that Drive's going to be the same thing. So that's one thing, right? But I kind of exactly understand what you're saying about Dark and Brooding and Brooding, right? But I kind of can also see, like, this is, when they set up that car chase, I completely understood what this character was. I think they defined a character without him saying one word, right?
In the initial scene.
Yes, in the car chase. I agree. I mean, because, okay, he's talking on the phone, but you don't actually see him talking.
No, yeah.
But in the chase, he's not like, holy crap, or this right? Yeah. And I'm saying he's done well acting, or he's done good acting, because you see a lot in the film, him driving around in this car. And basically, in that car, in any time he's in the car, it's basically what mood he's in. It exactly tells you if he's happy, sad, or stressed. Right? When he's Carey Mulligan, he's very happy. When he's on his own and he's going to kick some off, he seems clearly perturbed, you know? By Anselm, when there was silence, when people just looked at each other, I did, but I think that only happened when Ryan Gosling's character was there. Because he clearly, because Bryan Cranston was always talking, the bad guys were always talking, Carey Mulligan seemed just like a fragile person.
She was big on the silence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she was the strongest part of the film, but I don't think she was the weakest either. I think she was just sort of, she just seemed really beaten. Like, not physically, but like mentally. Yeah. Like, she seems like, I think what they're trying to portray was opening up from both characters.
Okay.
Like, in the sense, like, that's why he's so silent. And even him just smiling was a lot for him to do. Like, from his character, like, because clearly you can see he has no connections to anyone. Like, he has no friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think this is meant to be realistic anyway. He's clearly meant to be a cinematic entity. In the sense, like, you know, he's, the way he looks, the way he walks around and does his stuff. Though, you know, he's just got his cool jacket.
Yeah.
And even at the end of the film, where he's walking around with blood on it and dirt, he doesn't feel like anyone's going to pick up on that or feel freaked out. Like, but I can see in the film they present, they don't present a real world film, because there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, I would say it's not meant to be realistic. I know it felt it's completely realistic, the film. And I think that's fine, right? But I think it's meant to be just a film with a slight elevated reality.
Yeah.
With quite a lot of, which is quite grim or gritty, you know, that's how I see it. And yeah, just going back to the 80s thing.
Yeah.
Because you see, he looks quite 80s himself with the hair, the jacket. Well, on top of that, the music. And I gotta say, I actually loved it.
I think the song at the end, I really
quite liked. You're a real hero and you're a real human being. They played that as well when in the park as well. But I love that scene as well. I love the scene when they were driving in that LA whatever thing is called, the bridge, whatever.
It's the waterway or something.
I really like that, because I know I'm talking about the characters and stuff, but I do understand what you're saying, and throughout the whole film I could tell you were bemused at many moments.
I'm glad that you understand what I was saying. It's not that that's necessarily a bad thing. I don't want to maybe I just don't get it. I don't want to sound like some raving simpleton.
But you're not. You're
yeah,
not.
Exactly.
I know.
What I feel like annoyed me even more is not that it happened, but they did it for a reason, like not for because they felt that's how the story should have been told, but because if they put things in like that, then they'll try and appeal to smart.
I know what you're saying. And
it seems contrived almost.
I kind of that's why I do understand where you're coming from at that point, because for me it was like because that's what I was expecting as well, and I think that's how I felt even about Tinker Tailor as well, when there was that silence or that moment of very slow burn, and some of that, and that's why I was really, you know, I was thinking, yeah, there will be action, but it probably lost for like 2 minutes, but it was meant to be building up to it. But the thing was, I knew that's what it did do, but it actually worked for me, and I was waiting. That's the thing, James. I genuinely don't disagree because I kind of expected it to fail, just like Tinker Tailor sounded it for me. I expected it to, and it kind of, but it just worked. It kind of clicked with me all the way, and there wasn't a moment where I was just like, why can't they just do this, or why can't they just say this and do this kind of thing. I understand that, but it never pushed that level to me. I think it was because it's such a, I think there's a lot of other things that appeal to me, and I know I've been bringing up Tinker Tailor all the time, but it's also but it is something that because I thought these are two films I was really into submit about, and you expected both of them to be slow burn, and I expected there to be this massive like payoff, and it kind of both do that. But I think it's because there was in this film what there was, and it wasn't the action part, it was it was the whole feeling. It was the whole, like, you know, we talk about the 80s, but I love, like, the whole pink colour at the start.
Yeah.
How they open
the,
that.
The writing.
The writing, the pink.
Very
80s. You got, and just the shots. The shot. I mean, the way they shoot Ryan Gosling driving was awesome. Like, because it's inside that cockpit kind of view. And it's not like your traditional way of how you shoot a car, where it's either against the wheel or it's someone going fast, running past. It just, it really worked for me. Well, how they shot him in the car whenever he's near a car worked. And when he had the moment to elevate his reactions, it worked well as well. And I thought the overall, because like you said, right, they did build tension. Well, you thought they were trying to build tension, but when they built tension for me, it worked. Because the moments when shit hits the fan, it really did hit the fan for me. And it only lasted for 30 seconds, but those 30 seconds were invigorating to me. Like the heist, the scene in the flat with Christina Hendricks. Amazing. Like, and the great thing was, I saw that part, the pit with the heist in the trailer. And I still flinched. You saw me, I think you noticed I flinched. And that's what impressed me. I knew that was coming.
So this is another point that annoyed me, is I felt like, in terms of how gory it gets at times, do you feel like that was necessary? I'm not saying that films can't be gory, but in that film, don't you think that it was excessive when compared to watching the rest of the film and the rest of the way the film looked? I felt like it felt almost out of place. Like,
okay, we can go into spoilers, right?
Okay. So now I don't want to spoil too much.
I want to do go into spoilers.
Okay.
So I think, I'm just going to give a short summary, then go into spoilers if you don't want to listen anymore. I really like this film, and James is not going to like this, but it is my, but this is probably up there in my top film of the year. And James is not happy with this. It's probably one of my, it's easily my favourite, my top two favourite films of the year. James, what would you say?
In summary, I really didn't like this film. I felt like it was really pretentious. Ruined great potential of what I feel like it could have been.
Okay. Okay, fine. So, spoilers, go on. So,
One scene that sticks in my mind, which switches from one end of the pretentious scale to the other end of ridiculousness was the scene in the elevator.
Oh, okay.
After they got, when they got in, that's fine. I mean, the bit where, and when, where he brushes her, does, when does it turn dark?
When yeah, he brushes her to the side,
turns dark. That's fine in the, a setting of a film. If you want to make a film that's like that, you change, you know,
the lighting, mood,
the lighting based on the mood of what's happening, and then to, and then they share an intimate moment together. That's fine. Then to follow it up with Ryan Gosling's foot being jammed in something that looks like paper mache and jelly seems like such a juxtaposition that I feel that you are just, you're doing it for the sake of saying, well, we've got this arty moment, but don't worry, we've also got gore and we're serious, we don't pussyfoot around it. And I felt like, why not pussyfoot around it? If you have an emotional moment, why then go to this extreme? It doesn't, I don't feel like it says anything.
Okay, what I will disagree with, because I thought that was a moment where it tells you what I think he kind of realised what he is. At that moment, he realised what he is, and she realises what he is as well in the moment, because, so they have his intimate moment, right? And after that, he shows that his monstrous side.
Yeah.
And that's that shock on her face. That's the whole point of it. Like, he could have just kicked him in the face, right?
Yeah. I mean,
he could have just kicked him in the face and insinuated, he kicked the crap out of him. And that's it. Like, even killed him, but not to the point where his face turns into paper mache and jelly, which is fine. But that's the whole point. That she sees extreme violence that she didn't even see from her husband, but she sees from this guy. And she thought this guy was something special.
Yeah.
And at that moment, her heart, it just got mended when she kissed him.
Yeah.
And her heart just got broken within that moment.
Okay.
And his heart got broken because he just realized when his, because throughout the whole film, right, you see him controlled.
Yeah.
And when he's not on, and then at that moment, that's why you see his face, he seemed so distraught because he just realized he let himself go. And he just fucked up something that it's the only thing he's ever cared about. Like, he can clearly has no attachments, again. And he's completely severed what he had at that moment, just because he went all the time, he's controlled himself and he couldn't at that moment.
Okay, so it's, I haven't actually said, I actually think, like I said, when I thought they ruined a good thing, I think the story or the idea of the story is a good story, just not necessarily told well. So the scene, you're right about that scene, it does show, like, you've got that tender moment and your heart's broken, but then she sees that violence and her seeing it, and when you see her face after, you see it broken, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to show his foot going into the head. You could have, and because even if say if they focused on their faces, then you've just got a fully emotional scene. You've got a scene where they kiss, and then you see the horror in her face as he does something disgusting.
Yeah.
And you could even have some blood splatter to show that he's killed him.
Okay.
Without that, without the downward shot of
him.
Pure gore.
Yeah. Okay. No, I understand that.
It's not that I don't know. Maybe
I think,
because it's not that those things are bad separately. It's just that together, I feel uneasy them sitting together.
I do understand what you're saying, but it, like I said, it did work. I think, because if I try to recall from the film, when that moment they showed it, I kind of gasped at the moment as well. Like, it was, so it worked for me because it did affect me. Because I knew he was kicking him in the face, and you could start to hear the bones crack.
Yeah.
But I just thought that's what they're going to do. Just constantly, you get the idea, the image of him just doing that, but not the actual point of it, them showing it. And I think that's what he tried to do the audience, because I think it's such a normal thing in film to, and so, you know, directors do this, where they insinuate the violence that is being portrayed without showing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and he was like, he built that. Because it was a while they didn't show it, and there was like a last second, when it was like the last foot he stamped in. That's when they showed it. So it's like, okay, we're not going to show it to you. so it's kind of like, okay, it's like a typical scene where you always insinuate the violence, but we're not going to show it. But he's like, nope, we actually are. And it's kind of like a big fuck you to people who didn't anticipate it. I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're getting too cool. I mean, that's one scene, right?
Yeah.
I think the only real fault, even though they they planted it from the beginning, the actual villain of the story, and it just, but it was like more of a coincidence that they, how they crashed, collide.
Yeah.
I think that was, I mean, that was the only genuine fault, like, I think, of the film, where, I get where Albert Brooks, the guy with the weird afro, right, he was there, I get that, that's fine, because he actually has a dealing, but his partner, Nino, like, he just comes out of nowhere, like, what happens and how they integrate, comes out of nowhere, and it's kind of like a small world, husband's, you know, husband comes out of jail, and he has to do his job, turns out it's for this guy, and then, you know, whatever, so that's fine. But what I liked about it as well, I felt a lot of it was more of a love story overall. Overall, I mean, it was it felt more of a love story to me than it did a gangster. Well, I don't know. And what would he call this genre? I mean, what was it being marketed as? And
I think, well, from the trailer, I thought that it was going to be slightly more
action
orientated.
Yeah.
So that might be how they all.
So action thriller, an action thriller.
Yeah, mate. Especially because it's called Drive.
So I think it's gonna be an action thriller, right? And it just turns out to be a love story or whatever. And I liked his interaction with the kid because the kid didn't talk a lot, but and it worked for both of them because they both seem like they just don't want to talk, but they seem just enjoy each other's company, which is fine. And I thought, yeah, the interactions are really good. I didn't like the husband's acting. I thought he's a good actor. I thought he's pretty good. He didn't do the typical, like, I'm amending myself so much. And try. It was kind of like the level, like, I get it, I'm a dick, but I'm trying to fix what I can. And he was portrayed pretty okay, in my opinion. I did like the hammer scene. Like, when, that was just, that was, it was just, it was pretty cool. I know they showed it in the trailer, but it still worked well. I just, yeah, I think what I liked, I mean, I know you hate me saying cinematography, but
it was. You can say it that time, you can say this.
Yeah, but it was. I mean, like the hammer scene when they in that, wherever, strip bar, wherever it's called, that looked amazing. That shot did look amazing. It's like they probably said, let's put our money into this scene and brightly lit everything and make it look sparkly.
Yeah.
And it worked. I think, and that's where they were coming back to that 80s theme again, not just music, but visually. They were grabbing that 80s. Feel. So overall, I don't think there's any more I want to add. Do you want to add anything else?
I want to say some positives. I kind of liked, I felt like I liked the acting of the guy, I forget his name, so Nino's partner, basically.
Oh, Albert Brooks. Yeah, he is pretty good, yeah. I like Bryan Cranston as well. I think he's a
pretty... Bryan Cranston being?
He's the mechanic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I liked him as well. That's the other one. Yeah. Thanks for saying that. I like their acting. And with also, I haven't said anything about the other acting people. I didn't think that Ryan Gosling acted very well in this film. Okay. Though, then again, that could be because he wasn't really working with... So I couldn't tell if I didn't like his acting or he this wasn't character. Working with the. Oh yeah, he wasn't.
I think it's more character because, but I even though I see why the character is working because every time you just like I said before, even when you saw him driving, you could see his emotions.
Yeah.
Like that's how I saw it. He was happy. He had to give a. He just gave a little smile. He's like, okay, this guy's happy. But when his eye, you could see his eyes just popped a little bit more than they did, right? Yeah. Usually. And he's like, okay, this guy's stressed and like, he's ready to do something. And I even like the end scene actually between when he's actually talking to Albert Brooks and they're going to the car at the same time. And he's kind of like, I know my impending doom. But, so I thought that was interesting how they're cutting in between to a climax. And I liked how he avoided what you would expect the whole film was kind of building up to as well. Like, it seemed like, you know, Albert Brooks and his partner Nino could have had these, like, goons, like 300 goons, and he had to fight them all, like, old boy style or whatever. But no, he just takes them out at the top end rather than going through like, his, you know, henchmen. He just, like, I'll just cut the head of the snake's head off. So I liked it. And again, I just thought it worked. I think it was just a good, like I said, I think it's just, worked for me. I don't think his character's deep or anything. I just think his character made sense in the film world.
Okay.
He's meant to be a kind of like, in a way I see he's just kind of like a, you know, like those westerns, like the tough cowboy kind of guy. He's just like in, you know, he's just in the Wild West and he's like, he's kind of like, he reminds me of Clint Eastwood. Doesn't say much, doesn't give you much depth to him, but he just plays around with what's happening around him, and that's what I think. I don't think I want to say more than that because yeah, I think I want to watch it again.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
That's the end of the show.
Yeah.
You can email us at the BritFilmCast, BritFilmCast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us, with me, at Broken_Engineer. You can tweet at James at Nostradamus.
Hello.
Alex has left London. He's on the run, just like in Drive. To Manchester. Aha! They'll get him. They're gonna find him. If he's here but busy. That's those guys and me. So you can email us, leave us an iTunes review if you could. I hope you enjoy the show. And I think that's the end of it. Okay. Bye.